I should do our videos and dress up as Christopher Walken and do them as Christopher Walken.
You should. That's a great idea. I had this idea a while ago that we could do like a video series called Chicks on Tech, where just we just dress up as chicks and talk about tech. And it's like absolutely pointless. We wouldn't even address the fact that we were dressed up or anything, but we would do it as women. I want to see Buster dressed in a nice miniskirt, though.
I'll be wearing some tights underneath, though.
You bet on that. You got to have the full beard, though, and a sun hat. Hello, and welcome to the CoCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifin Elijah. Hey, guys. I'm joined by my two platonic life companions. I almost called you partners.
Why not?
That's a better term for that. Buster Heine is here. Hey, Buster.
Good evening.
Would you prefer partner?
Whatever. Any like Padawan would be cool too.
I feel like until we move in together, I can't use platonic life partner.
Okay.
Consider that. Consider my offer. If that's
Is that an option to move up to Seattle?
Of course. Alex Excelsior Heath is here as well. Hey, Alex.
Hey.
You can live with us too if you want.
I'm in.
It's a shirts free zone though.
That's great. I don't wear them anyway.
Maybe we should go to Arizona though, because it's pretty cold up here.
Mm-hmm.
In Seattle. Mm. It's not the greatest weather for shirt-free zone 24/7. What a great show we have for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about this totally unexpected Apple-IBM partnership. We're also going to be doing all new faves and raves and faves and raves and faves and raves at the very end of the show. So stay tuned for that, because was it Buster? Didn't you say you had the gadget of all gadgets this week, or the pick of all picks?
Pick of all picks for sure.
Really? Normally you're just like picking something on the fly.
Oh, I was talking about this with my girlfriend at lunch. I was like, I know what I'm going to pick today.
Wow.
Feels really good.
And is that when she looked at you and just said, huh?
Yeah.
She's like, you do a podcast?
Before we hop into today's show, I want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software, for supporting this episode. If you haven't tried Text Expander from Smile Software, you are missing out, son. It is one of the most useful apps available on Mac and iOS. That's because Text Expander saves you time and effort by expanding your short abbreviations into frequently used text, pictures, blocks of code, and so much more. It's an application I use every single day. Try it out yourself for free at smilesoftware.com/cultcast. I also want to thank Oyster Books for sponsoring this episode. Guys, I am actually genuinely excited to have Oyster Books sponsoring. Have you guys checked out their app?
Yeah.
You have checked out?
Yeah, I've checked Fantastic. It out. I haven't used it yet, but it looks cool.
Well, if you guys like to read, and I love to read, Oyster Books is great. It's basically like the Netflix of books. And you download their app. It's available on Android. It's available on iOS, both iPad and on your iPhone. Really beautifully designed app. And here's what I love about it. They give you access to 500,000 plus books, many from independent publishers, New York Times bestsellers, major publishers. These are not bad books. These are really good books. In fact, I was perusing their app last night, adding books to my reading list, and I was actually surprised to see some books that I've been wanting to read but haven't gotten around to yet, like the Steve Martin biography, which is called Born Standing Up. That's a 2007, I think, New York Times bestseller. The Carrie Fisher biography. You guys know who Carrie Fisher is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. You've redeemed yourself. She was Princess Leia in Star Wars. How to Win Friends and Influence People, a book I obviously need to read.
Mm.
And then also Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. Do you guys know who Dave Ramsey is?
Yeah,
the cook, dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. And his Entree Leadership book, I've heard really good things about it. It's a business book on how to run a startup business.
Wait, you talking about the financial dude? Or
yeah, the financial dude. Bald guy.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's cool. And so I added all these books to my list. And what I like about Oyster is, you know how you get to read like a excerpt from a book on Amazon or something before you buy it? That's cool, but oftentimes I find that when I'm reading a book, I get bored of it and I just don't want to go back to it. And with Oyster, if that happens, it doesn't matter, because you just move on to a new book, because you don't have to pay to read a book. All these books are all available to you at any time. And you can finish them, you can not finish them. You won't have any of that guilt for buying a book that you never read. Check it out yourself. Head on over to oysterbooks.com/cultcast. Really fantastic app. I think this is such a great idea. I can't believe that no one has created an app like or a service like this before. I want to thank... What's up?
Does Oyster have Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products?
I don't know if they have that, but they do have the Steve Jobs biography.
So I guess that's like that, second place. So
yeah, that is definitely a really far second place, distant second. They should definitely have Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products, because that's obviously one of the better books written in 2013.
Ever written in
or
history.
Or before that, yeah. It's like
I'd say the Bible and then that.
Number one. Yeah, and that's number two. That's exactly what I was thinking too. maybe a third place. Maybe it's like the Bible, something else, and then Johnny Ive book.
Yeah.
In any case, oysterbooks.com/cultcast. Let's talk about let's start with a fun story. Did you guys hear about this Comcast customer service call Ryan Block had where he recorded it?
I heard about it, and I didn't so listen for them. But I felt like I could imagine what it's like.
Oh no, Buster, you need to listen to it. It's literally, I listened to it with a room full of guys last night, and we were all cracking up. Like, it's
what happens in it?
So if you guys don't know who Ryan Block is, he is a well-known tech writer. And I don't know what he's up to these days. Who is he writing?
He's the product
for AOL now.
Yeah, he's AOL's like Gadget, head then, product guy.
Okay, and
he co-founded Engadget,
right? Exactly.
Founded GDGT,
which sold to AOL.
Right.
So he was trying to cancel his Comcast service for his mom, and you guys.
No, it was. I think it was his.
Oh, was it his own?
Yeah, it's his because he's married to Veronica Belmont, and they were moving, and they wanted to cancel their service to get a new provider to where they were moving.
So he's trying to cancel this service, and the Comcast representative he's talking to won't let him do it. She just keeps arguing with him and trying to convince him that he shouldn't cancel, and keeps asking them all these asinine questions. So brilliantly, he decides to record the call and publish it. And it's hilarious. If you haven't listened to it, you should go Google it, because I think it says so much about Comcast. Everything that everyone knows about Comcast is in this call.
It's got over a million plays on SoundCloud.
Wow.
And Comcast took down, because a Comcast rep made this huge, I don't know if you saw it on Reddit. He posted on Reddit this like long.
This is actually what I was going to bring up next.
Yeah. Well, did you see that they took it down? That his original comment got taken off of the TV subreddit for some reason, like not of his own will. Mm-hmm. So he reposted it somewhere else and said that it had been taken down, and now it's like getting even more upvotes.
I was reading this last night. So what Alex is talking about is a former Cultcast employee. At least he claims to be a former Cultcast.
Cultcast? You mean Comcast?
Comcast. Wow. Foot in mouth. Yeah. We don't try to screw you. Comcast does. So this guy totally posts this long explanation on why this situation occurred and how these customer service representatives are motivated to retain you. And I thought what was more interesting, besides the fact that he's like, these guys are basically paid to keep you on the service, that's why they're so aggressive, is the fact that he said Comcast basically has these super fast speeds, these networks in place to give you super fast speed, and they basically just have to turn it on. And they don't, because they're not motivated to, because they know that you don't have any competition. And that's why in some markets, like in Austin, who's getting Google Fiber, Comcast, actually this is Time Warner Cables, this is not a good example, but in some markets where Comcast gets competition, they're able to flip a switch and immediately exponentially increase their speeds to you to compete. So they have the capability of giving you a really fast speed, but they're just not really motivated to do so.
Yeah.
And he also lays out all these other things about Comcast. Well, that
and
really
on the call, like towards the end, the guy's like, you know what? I can lower your bill by like $100 a month. He's like, I'll get you 10 times faster speed. We'll lower your bill. Like, he was just like throwing out all this stuff. And Ryan Block says he handled it so well. It was so funny. He was like, at one point they were arguing about turning in their his box, his cable box or something. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'm actually going to mail it in. And he's like, oh, we cannot accept it mailed in. And he's like, all right, well, he's like, you have to bring it into the store and then cancel there. He's like, well, you know what? We're not going to do that either. I'll probably just task rabbit somebody to take it to the store because we don't want to go in your store. And I mean, it's just like, if you want anybody, like, if anybody's going to be set on canceling Comcast, it's going to be someone like Ryan Block. So to see them, like, go back and forth like that was, it's sad. I mean,
the sad thing is about it is, even if you cancel Comcast, what are you going to do? A friend of mine canceled Comcast in Seattle, and because she was so fed up with them, because they kept promising her to give her these specific rates that they had advertised and then not giving them to her. So finally she canceled. She had to go to our local DSL service, and she realized that their speed was so abhorrently slow that she couldn't even use it. So she ended up having to go back to Comcast. I wonder what Ryan's going to do. Maybe he's in an area with Google Fiber.
I don't know, but like in where I am in Kentucky, Comcast, I don't even know if they're here. Like if they are, they're definitely not the monopoly. Like our local DSL is actually pretty good.
Well, that's surprising because Comcast is one of the biggest media companies in the world.
Yeah, I know. So I've never really had any interaction with them, but I'm going to avoid them at all possible, you know, just based on everything I've heard.
Their service isn't bad, but their customer service truly is, because they're not motivated to care. Like if you have any complaints, they'll promise you stuff and then they'll just never follow through.
And if they merge with Time Warner, imagine how much worse it's going to get.
Have you guys know that FCC did an open call for net neutrality that's still ongoing, right? Have you guys heard how many comments they got recently?
Yeah, it was like over like 700.
They've gotten over 700,000 comments. Like their website is crashing. So many people are commenting on the fact that they want net neutrality to survive.
That's and good.
This is along the same line. So if you haven't commented on that thread, I don't have a URL for you, but Google it and leave a comment, because every comment helps. And hopefully if they don't keep net neutrality going after this crazy thread with 700 or 800,000 comments, we have a major problem, like a major political problem on our hands, right? Because with that many people commenting, it's more than they've ever received before. If they were to ignore that, that would be pretty crazy.
Yeah. For sure.
Let's talk about some Apple stuff now before I go into full on rant mode about net neutrality and Comcast. I know you guys sometimes enjoy that, but
always
we have a lot of other stories to talk about. Let's talk about iTunes for a moment. Apparently, there was an update last week. I don't think I've actually downloaded it yet, but for anyone that does use iTunes to rent movies, this is some good news. iTunes 11.3 had a pretty significant update. You could now take advantage of the extras in HD movies, like, you know, like DVD and Blu-ray special features. So if you guys do rent movies, make sure you check those out for the movies that you already own as well, because they are activated for movies that you've already purchased. Do you guys actually use iTunes to rent movies?
I don't, but my parents do a lot. Okay,
I actually don't either.
I don't, man.
I always use Popcorn Time or Netflix.
Yeah,
you mean Pirate Netflix.
I watched Transcendence on Popcorn Time last night, and it was terrible, but yeah.
Transcendence? Oh, I love that movie.
I don't that even movie know what that
was,
is.
That was just so bad.
It was cheesy, but I liked it.
It's just so bad.
It's a cheesy sci-fi summer movie with Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a movie with Johnny Depp since 21 Jump Street.
The cast was stacked, man. They had Morgan Freeman, and gosh, but it was just so bad. But anyway, yeah, Popcorn. I don't know who rents movies in iTunes.
I think parents do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think parents or grandparents do. So let your parents or grandparents know that extra features, that the support for extra features is coming to iOS this fall as well. let your grandparents know. Let's talk about Apple's new IBM partnership, Alex.
Ooh.
Gone are the days. Gone are the days with Steve Jobs, a young feisty Steve Jobs, flipping off the IBM logo at their corporate headquarters. What a crazy, huge churn this is to hear that they're actually partnering with each other. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what the news was this week?
Yeah, it kind of came out of left field. They just dropped this press release out of nowhere, and it was like, boom. And I think their stock's doing pretty well since they announced it. But IBM and Apple are partnering to, I guess, transform enterprise technology. Mm-hmm. Seems like it, and looks like they're poised to do it pretty well together. So they're going to have like over 100 different apps for different sectors of business, like, you know, like for pilots and for finance managers and for all, you know, any kind of business you can imagine, really. And basically, Apple is going to be providing design software and their iOS hardware, and then IBM is going to be doing all of the on-site service IT stuff that they're so good at. And IBM's got like 100,000 employees devoted to this.
Wow!
And they're completely iOS first now. So all of their mobile solutions and stuff that they're rolling out to businesses are iOS, and they're going to help Apple sell bulk orders of iPhones and iPads to businesses.
I wish Leander were here to comment on what Steve Jobs would think about this.
Yeah,
he's probably smiling. On vacation with his family. You think so? I mean, maybe he would be totally cool with it.
It's kind of like everything comes full circle, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Apple kind of not needed IBM, but, you know, it was completely different, you know, whatever. However long ago, 20, 30 years ago, the roles were reversed. Like IBM was a juggernaut and Apple needed help. And now I guess IBM is... See, that's what I don't understand about this, because IBM's already... They're profitable from what I've read. And
oh,
they're
this
like,
is going to mean even more profitable, though.
Yeah, but they're like...
They're going to make mega trillions on this deal.
Yeah, but how... I don't know. I guess. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because... I can see what Apple stands to gain, because they're going to get a lot more of their products into businesses. They're already in 90% of the Fortune 500 companies, but Tim Cook was talking about how their penetration rate in each of those companies is really low. So they have products for each of those companies, but they're not rolled out throughout the whole company like they'd like to be.
IBM does technology consulting. I know they probably have B2B services that they sell and consulting services that they sell.
They do a lot of cloud infrastructure stuff for businesses, like secure stuff. And from what I've read, they're going to be providing that baked into Apple software. And then like that's going to work with Apple's iCloud. So you can have like the iCloud for your personal stuff and then IBM's servers for work stuff on the same device.
This is going to be huge, I think, if it's successful, because Apple really isn't that prevalent in business scenarios. I mean, there a lot of times they're supported, but they're not core devices for a lot of major, you know, Fortune 500 companies, because they just don't have the back ends, like, or the hook-ins to talk to all these complicated data systems like the ones IBM provides. So this could mean a huge boon for Apple. They could sell a ton of devices, because just like Tim Cook said, he said Apple's really good at creating simple UIs and solutions that people can interact with. But IBM is much more like data-driven. Mm-hmm. And so this seems like it could be a good partnership. Tim Cook even said, "We found a kindred spirit in IBM," which I thought was kind of a profound statement, considering Steve Jobs' position on IBM, you know, so many years ago. But obviously a lot has changed.
Well, yeah, I mean, IBM completely missed the consumer PC revolution and then the smartphone revolution. And I mean, it's totally pivoted. It's like completely enterprise now. So IBM's not even anywhere near the same company that they were. They sold off. I'm not super familiar with IBM's history, but didn't they sell off like their last consumer brand? What was it?
Yeah, they sold a Lenovo.
Yeah, Lenovo. That was it for them. And then when they sold that, it's like, yep, they're full enterprise now.
I don't even know how IBM makes money. They obviously make a lot of money.
They made like $16 million last year.
Yeah.
They run all the back end stuff for all the enterprises. That's why it's such a big deal, is they run all that. Okay. They will help you get all your servers and all that stuff. Like you said, consulting. It's huge, especially when you're in all of the top Fortune 500.
That means we're getting ready to start. Yeah, especially I've known some people that have worked, consulted with IBM, and they charge like $200 an hour for some of these people.
Yeah, it's primo, man.
Yeah, but they're like the Apple of enterprise, though. They're like the brand of, like, it's like the top brand. It's like, if it's IBM, it's like done right. And like Apple's going to have their own special kind of Apple Care for enterprise that I guess is going to be more tailored to bulk orders and devices and all of that. And so Apple will handle like the phone service 24/7, and then they're going to send IBM people out to do on-site installation and service. So they're going to be working together, even with, you know, customer customer experience in that way, which is interesting.
it's gonna be bad news for Windows Phone and
dude, Microsoft has got to be pooping its pants.
Yeah,
right.
This positions that's IBM what I think and Apple like, to like take over enterprise.
Yeah, because yeah, that totally give Microsoft like a death blow. To be honest, it could be a big blow to Microsoft.
Well, Satya Nadella said that Microsoft's kind of becoming more of just like a what did he call it? Like a
clouds
just a,
and. Cloud and services.
Mobile yeah, clouds and services.
Mobile and, mobile and services.
Mobile, yeah, mobile. Mobile ready, cloud ready, mobile ready, yeah, service exactly. ready. What's the slogan? I can't remember. That's a bad well, what sign.
If, what if Microsoft would have, like, instead of doing that, would have done this, like, huge, you know, we're going to do this huge push into enterprise, like, whenever that happened a couple months ago, and but then they, this happens.
They are an enterprise, which is,
right.
That's their main thing, and I think they're just trying to hold on to that.
Well, but they are in the sense of, like, PCs, like desktops, and I don't, the Apple didn't mention Macs anywhere in the press release, and I didn't see it anywhere, but I saw like Horace Dedu and a couple other people on Twitter say that Macs were also a part of this, so which would make sense because it's the Apple ecosystem, and Apple obviously wants to sell Macs as well. So I'm interested. That's going to be interesting in terms of like, will Macs start replacing Windows PCs? Because on mobile, it's obvious that iOS is probably going to win in the enterprise now, but I still don't know about desktop.
Yeah, iOS is already so ubiquitous. It's like everyone uses it for their personal stuff. Why not right. have it work for business too? Can we switch to something a little bit more lighthearted?
Yeah.
But still pretty serious. Kim Kardashian's iOS game can make $200 million this year.
Dude, it's
that's
on
a,
my
that's screen. A real headline. Buster, you wrote this and I was just shaking my head. Who the hell buys a Kim Kardashian iOS game that teaches users how to climb through the social ranks of Hollywood?
Dude, it's on my home screen, man.
Yeah, well, you're driving it to the number two spot on the free apps list, Alex.
I know.
How are you enjoying it? Because I know you're not lying. You actually probably are playing it.
It's great. Graphics are something to be desired. I'd like to see more of Kim. It's very pixelated.
It needs more Kanye, too, I heard.
Yeah,
oh, he only interrupts the game every once in a while. No, but seriously, a freaking Kim Kardashian game is at the top of the App Store. It's the number two spot in the top free apps. How does this happen? Have either of you guys played this game?
I've not actually played
Buster,
it.
Buster, don't lie.
No comment.
Well, apparently it has in-app purchases.
Yeah.
And Bloomberg has reported that it's on track to make $200 million by the end of 2014. And the in-app purchases consist of new clothes, handbags,
star power. Stars.
I don't even know what that means. Is
it's
that like
Super
you
Mario
go to Brothers
like
stars?
Photo shoots and club appearances. And yes! You have to have enough star power to make sure you
oh to get past the velvet rope
appearance. Yeah.
$200 million. This is truly unbelievable. I'm gonna have to download this and play it.
To anybody who says she's not a real entrepreneur, you're lying.
I don't know if she is the one driving these kinds of business decisions or if she just has an incredible team.
Yeah, she hires the right people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, you know, to being an entrepreneur. Like, you don't have to do it all yourself. If you hire the right people, you're still a good entrepreneur.
Didn't Kim Kardashian get her start as like
sex
Paris Hilton's sidekick?
Well, no. Originally,
that's what I heard.
It was a sex tape, and yeah, she was Paris Hilton's friend, so that's why it was news. It was Kim Kardashian.
Well, her family is, I mean, like Bruce Jenner and all that. I mean, I didn't know it's because of the Paris Hilton thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, because, I mean, obviously she had the sex tape, but before that, I mean, she had to have had some type of status before, because otherwise no one would have cared about that tape. So I
well, it was with Ray J. He was a famous rapper at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We should just chronicle the career of Kim Kardashian in detail right now.
Should we? Yeah. Buster, bring up their Wikipedia page. We're going to devote the rest of the show to this. Let's go through every segment, early life, marital status. All right, let's move on. I want to talk about this Beats ad that came out over World Cup. By the way, congratulations, Germany. Frickin' machines, the machines, the Germans. But before we do that, I do want to thank our sponsor, Smile Software, for supporting this episode. I love it. If you guys haven't used Text Expander, it's one of those apps that I install immediately. As soon as I set up a new Mac, there's like those critical apps that you need, right? There's mail, there's your browser, I install Chrome. And then there's apps that you have to install because Apple doesn't include them, like Text Expander, which is great because it saves you so much time. Once you get Text Expander up and running, you can immediately access a bunch of built-in snippets that allow you to expand short abbreviations into all sorts of other kinds of text. For example, and one that I've brought up before that's super useful and may not seem like it is, there's one built in where you can just type DDATE and it just replaces that text with today's current date. If you're a college student, if you're someone who writes emails often where the date needs to be there, if you're somebody who needs to have the date in reports or something, it saves you a lot of time. And those kind of snippets are built out all throughout Text Expander. There's a ton of snippets that will save you time. Plus, you can create your own. And it's not just blocks of text that you write and compose yourself, which is really easy to do, and you can create your own abbreviations to have those changed into text blocks. You can use it for code, so if you're a developer, maybe you're a front-end developer, and you're using JavaScript, tidbits of code, or HTML, and you need to insert these blocks of code in various places, Text Expander is perfect for that because A, not only is it going to save you a bunch of time, but B, it's going to eliminate mistakes because once you have a code block that's tightened up, it's high and tight, just how you need it, you don't have to worry about hand typing it, which introduces errors. You can just use Text Expander and it will introduce those text blocks anywhere you need them. Plus, as I mentioned before, GIFs. You could use it to store your favorite GIFs. So if you're on iMessage or if you're on Twitter and someone says something snarky to you and you need to post a haters gonna hate photo really fast with some guy walking with a cane, that's super easy with Text Expander. You can just type your little abbreviation and boom, they know that they're a hater and they need to step off. Does anyone say step off anymore, Alex? Wait, sorry, I'm probably asking the wrong guy. Buster, does anyone say step off anymore?
I don't think so, man. I think that died with School of Rock.
I'm bringing that back. In any case, I love Text Expander, and I really do use it every single day. Give it a try. Head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. Download it. You can try it out for free. I think you're really going to love it. We want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. Okay, let's talk about Jimmy Iovine and the Beats ad for that came out during World Cup. Have you guys seen it?
Soccer fever all day, yeah.
Did you actually watch the games and stuff?
Oh, I watched them, yeah. Okay, me and cool. Leander were watching them last podcast.
Yeah, that's right, during the podcast. I remember that. What were you going to say, Buster?
Oh, the ad, it's awesome, that's all.
It's kind of long. It's like 5 minutes long.
You didn't like it?
I thought it was really good. I just thought it was too long. I thought it
was a 2 minute ad. I talked about this ad like 3 weeks ago and you were like, no, man, I haven't seen it. I bet it's not that cool.
Did I? I was probably not paying attention.
I mean, a lot of like the brands like Nike and Adidas, they all usually release like really big, long, like theatrical ads every World Cup. I thought Beats was the best one. The Nike one was pretty good too, but
I didn't see the Nike one. I think the thing about the Beats ad that actually surprised me was how impressed I was with it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, it demonstrated to me that Beats really does have amazing advertising. And I don't know who they're working with. I don't know if it was Jimmy.
It's their own advertising.
Is it really their own?
Yeah.
Okay. So now Apple owns Beats. So the New York Post, was reporting that Apple's looking to Jimmy Iovine, who they got with Beats, to reignite its marketing magic. I don't know if they really need to reignite their marketing magic. I think Apple's doing pretty good right now, but they need some wider influence.
Decent, but they're not killing it like they were used to, you know? And you can see, like, with Beats, like, they were banned from the World Cup stadium, yet they were the hottest, like, company advertising during the World Cup. I think Apple could use a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think they could use some of that magic as well.
Some of that chicken fat.
What does that even mean?
Someone out there will get it.
That's it's okay. That song hey, I brought up Perfect Strangers on many episodes, and there's just crickets. And that was an excellent reference.
It's that JFK song they played in their recent 5S ad that's like everyone's working out. It's from the JFK administration where it's like that old government song about working out.
There's a government song about working out?
Yeah, from JFK, man. They had that initiative to get everyone healthy because Americans are fat.
What? Rude. Yeah. Dude, I think we look good. Screw you, guys. In any case, you can Google this Beats ad on YouTube. I couldn't believe it. It had almost 24 million views. 24 million views. So even if you don't like the ad, you can't argue with the fact that the ad was incredibly popular. And so maybe some of that magic will rub off on Apple. Hopefully it will. I don't think their ads are really that bad. I think they get a bad rap, especially when people compare them to Samsung. I don't think Samsung's ads are that great. They just always make fun of Apple.
I think Samsung's ads are better than Apple sometimes lately.
Like which ones? Like the one
the wall huggers ad? I thought that was pretty funny because that's like my life sometimes.
It is. That's actually
very true.
You come
home and you're just like, where's the wall charger?
Especially if you're at the airport, you're constantly looking. If you use your phone a lot, you're constantly looking for an outlet.
I mean, I think it's like anybody who has a smartphone, not just iPhone users. But, you know, I think it hits on like something that like we're all just like, dang, I hate my phone's battery life, period, you know?
Well, that's the thing about the Samsung phones I thought was funny. I mean, they're battery life is it amazing? Is it revolutionary? Just like every other phone, isn't it?
It's not, but they have this feature that turns it into like a dumb phone, and it will last for like a week. But it's literally like useless. Like you can only make calls on it. But that's their whole like battery
messages via Edge and make calls
like it turns into this like terminal looking interface, and it's like all it can do is make calls. And it's like, yeah, okay, your battery can last for a week, but if I put my phone in airplane mode, it'll last that long too.
Yeah, that's what I do too. I put my phone in airplane mode, and then I just don't use it. And then if I need to make a call when I get off an airplane, I can do that.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm in my airplane every day, that's what I do.
And in that same ad, they also like see like some guy like takes a Samsung the back off and he changes out the battery. It's like it's some revolutionary new thing.
Okay, interchangeable battery. See, is that cool?
I mean, I still think the ad's good. That doesn't mean the product's great, but kind of like Apple, like the product hasn't always like. Sometimes Apple's ads have been way better than the product, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I'm with you
there. That's what Samsung's doing right now.
It's definitely a great point to harp on, right? Because it's true. I'm right with you, Buster. As soon as I saw that, I was like, I do that. I'm always tethered to a wall whenever there's like a situation where I'm actually using my phone a lot. Like whenever I travel, I keep bringing up that example because I feel like at the airport, I'm always looking for a plug.
Yeah.
And so are the Samsung people.
I would say that from a philosophy approach of like advertising, Samsung is very lazy and very not original, because like if you look at Apple's ads, they're very positive. They're very like how their products are making the world a better place, how people are using them to improve their lives. Samsung is really all Samsung knows how to do is make fun of other products.
Yeah, but that's what Apple did for like 5 years with the
they had
campaign. That was
I know they had that
campaign ever, man.
But even that was they did it
and
in
they
an
did
original
that before.
Way, and
like,
they did it
1984
way.
Was all about hating on IBM too. You know, I don't think it's bad that Samsung's hating. I think,
but that's literally. But
up.
Apple has a mix of those, and recently it's been all about the like inspirational pie in the sky stuff, and like Samsung, literally all they know how to do is say this is how bad the iPhone is. Is and we're better at this one thing.
See, like, I think that's a like a reflection of where the two companies are. Apple at the top, like they don't have to go down to Samsung's level and talk crap
about
those
phones. But Samsung could market itself as like, look, we're just the best and we know we're the best and here's why. They don't like
but
every one of their ads does it. That's what I'm saying. Like it's
and
just
they're not. But they're still making good ads.
It's just annoying.
I agree with both of you. And I disagree with both of you. But speaking of Apple battery life, let's wrap up with this story before we move on to faves and raves. Buster, I'm going to go to you with this because apparently Apple is reportedly poised to get really long battery life in their iPhones.
Week-long battery
life. Week?
Maybe.
You don't mean like week. You mean
I don't
like
believe this for
week
a second.
Long.
See, I don't know how much I believe it either, because the rumor is that they're talking with a British fuel cell firm, Intelligent Energy, about like embedding fuel cell batteries into the iPhone. I just wonder, wouldn't you still have to, like, you'd have to, like, literally juice it up, you know, to, like, refill your fuel?
You have to, like, you have, like, one of those little nozzles on the bottom, and you put a little butane thing in there. And, like,
you go, you run over to the gas station, fill it up. You know?
I'll be honest, too. I don't know if I want something explosive sitting next to my wiener.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that would work. But if it did, and it brought, you know, 10-day battery life, that would be pretty awesome.
So that was part of the rumor, yes. Is like you would get, with this reported battery technology, up to a week of battery life, which would be incredible if this actually materialized.
Guys, this is the Daily Mail. Like, they are... like,
hey, but they're from the UK, and the Intelligent Energy's from the UK, too.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's the Daily Mail.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't the Daily Mail also post, like, pictures of celebrities in their bathing suits?
Yeah, it's like
soccer players.
It's the British TMZ.
No, it's not the British TMZ. It's the British Huffington Post.
Okay, so
not much better.
Yeah,
it's not much better. It's like a step up from TMZ,
but not a very big step. It's like a baby step.
Well, this is definitely not going to be in the iPhone 6, and I'm still calling BS on it for a while.
Yeah, this has no chance of being in the iPhone 6. But it's interesting to talk about, because you know Apple's got to be intensely hard at work at increasing battery life. They obviously,
I hope so.
It's something that they want to do. It's probably just not technically or feasible or financially feasible to do it yet.
Yeah, it seems like we're in a spot where battery technology has to be, like, completely reinvented. Like, we kind of reached the threshold of what we can get out of the batteries we have, and they've got to do something completely different.
Yeah, but I think that's probably going to be years out. So hopefully in the iPhone 6 with the 4.7/5.5-inch model, they're able to work in enough battery matter to actually get battery life that lasts. I would be happy with a full day. Heavy use. If it made it a full day, I would be thrilled.
Yeah, mine's like a half day.
Yeah, mine's more like 3 or 4 hours max. But that's okay. Well, let's move on to faves and raves. Oh, you're like the most lovely tenor I've heard. Fantastic, Buster.
I was trying to be as flat as possible.
That's pretty good. This is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. And you can also vote on which one's best by heading over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, and letting us know which one of our picks is the one that you would pick, or pitch your own. That would be awesome as well. So who wants to go first this week? Gentry? Anyone dying to go first? No? Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll go first, because I'm sure Alex is picking his at this very moment. And Buster, you apparently have some faves and raves killer, so you're probably going to want to go at the end.
No, I'll go next.
Okay, fantastic. Well, so mine is a mail plugin. So it plugs into Apple Mail on your Mac. It's called Send Later. It does one thing, and it does one thing very well. It adds a new button to your mail application that allows you to, instead of sending an email right away, schedule when that email actually gets sent.
Oh,
nice. And I've been looking for something like this forever, and this is really well implemented. And you just click on the Send Later button, and it brings up a little dialogue, and it's like, do you want to send this now? Do you want to send this tomorrow? Or you can schedule a day and a time.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, because how many times are you writing emails at night, and you want the email to go out in the morning?
Yeah, or if it's like the weekend, and I'm usually getting caught up on email on the weekend, but I don't want to email a contact during the weekend because I know they probably won't see it.
Exactly. And then by Monday, your email is buried under everyone else who sent it on Monday morning.
Yeah.
So I needed something like this for a while. Send Later works great. It's really well designed, and I think it's $13. So it's really inexpensive, too. I feel like apps like this are normally like $25.
That's actually kind of expensive.
You think $13
for a mail plugin?
Well, it's I think it's €8 or €9. So after the conversion,
but it's just a plugin
in Europe. Yeah, it's just a plugin, dude. Send Later is my pick, Buster. What do you got?
All right, I didn't even think we would talk about this, but I'm gonna pick Kim Kardashian's Hollywood app.
Wait, are you serious?
No, I'm hanging up on you now, Buster.
I thought you said you had like a
I thought that would be a killer app, and you guys didn't like it.
But
wait, was
does
this...
it have in-app purchases of clothing and handbags? And
yeah, diamonds and lipstick and dresses.
I'm kind of warming up to it. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah. If you guys don't like Kim Kardashian's app, the company also made this game called Dino Hunter, which is pretty awesome, where you get to basically hunt dinosaurs.
Isn't this pretty popular in the free app store as well? Isn't it number one?
It just came out like last Thursday, and I have a nephew who just loves dinosaurs, and so this has been our jam, just hanging out and killing dinosaurs together.
Oh, interesting. As of your Kim Kardashian post, it was number three in the free section of the App Store.
Yeah.
So they have number two and number three.
Yeah, they do. They're doing crazy well.
Golly. Okay, so Dino Hunter is a dinosaur hunting game?
Yeah, it's basically just like Deer Hunter, only you're like hunting like mutant dinosaurs kind of instead. And you can like the in-app upgrades are like you can buy new guns, like sights and other stuff and bait to hunt your dinosaurs. It's pretty sweet.
This is your faves and raves killer?
I was really going to pick the Kim Kardashian thing, but then we talked about it.
Wait, have you actually played that?
I had to download it for the post, man. I had to try it. Dude, you know what's crazy is like while I was researching it, there's like tons of like comments and stuff of like, you know, girls that are like, I've spent $500 on this Kim Kardashian game.
I'm sorry. If anyone out there has spent $500 on a Kim Kardashian game.
Dude.
It's
like worse than Candy Crush, man.
That's hard to believe. Yeah. You should be slapped by someone taller and stronger than you.
They should take your iPhone away from you.
you should be on a BlackBerry from now on. Or like an Amazon phone. What's the Amazon phone again?
Oh, the...
I can't even remember the name of it.
Fire?
Didn't it come out a month ago? The Fire?
Yeah, we talked... The Fire phone. Thank you.
It dropped below Amazon's like top 50 pre-ordered items after like a week.
Huh. I think 10 or 15 apps are available for that actual phone. I'm making that number up, by the way, but it's not very big. But if you are purchasing stuff on the Kim Kardashian app, that's what you should have to use from now on. And the app is FreeBuster, the Dino Hunter game.
Okay.
Alex, what do you got?
So I have been trying Mailbox. No.
Jerk.
But the reason I have been trying is because I got access to the Mac beta a few days ago, and I thought, well, you know what? I've been wanting to try Mailbox, but I've been waiting for the Mac app. So now that I have it, I'm going to switch to it completely. So I've hid Mail, Apple Mail on all of my devices, like turned it off in Notification Center, and I'm just using Mailbox to see how it goes. And it's been really nice. I really like it.
So it's well designed. It works well.
Yeah, I can't really. Well, I guess I can talk about it. I couldn't like show screenshots or anything because it's in beta. But the Mailbox Mac app is really nice. Still got some features they need to add. But it's early in the beta process. If you're like registered for the beta, you're going to get it eventually. They're just rolling it out in waves, I think. I got lucky, I guess, to be in like one of the first waves, but it's got everything from the iOS version. You can just, you know, the gestures with the trackpad works really nice for like swiping to the left and right to save things for later and archive. I like how it... Do you use it, Irfan? Did you say you used it on your
iPhone? I use it for my iPhone and for my iPad. I love Mailbox.
Yeah, I really like...
to release a Mac app.
Yeah, I really like the idea of thinking of it like a GTD app, like a getting things done type of process of like a task manager for email. It's something that I've been wanting because my inbox is just like, before I used Mailbox, I had like 5,000 emails in my inbox that I just left, you know, read.
Dang, I thought I was struggling. Jeez, and dude.
Mailbox archives all of that for me, and I just like it's really fast too. The push is really fast. It's faster than Apple's Mail.
Can you only use it with Gmail accounts?
You can use it with Gmail, but if you have accounts routed through your Gmail, like I have my Cult of Mac address routed through my Gmail, you can easily add that as an alias, so I can still send emails from my Cult of Mac email as well. And
doesn't that cost money to do though?
No. And they support iCloud, and I think they're adding Yahoo, and I know they're one of their top priorities is Exchange, and I think that's coming soon. They wouldn't tell me when, but soon. And but yeah, for Gmail, it's great. They work really tightly with Gmail's filters and folders system and all of that, which is, I guess, changing because Gmail is doing its own API. It's getting rid of IMAP. I don't know if you saw that, Irfan.
I didn't know.
Yeah, so IMAP, they're not going to be doing IMAP anymore. And for people who don't know, they probably don't care, but it's going to make syncing email a lot different, I think. So
wait a second. So are you going to be able to keep your email and stuff synced across your devices with no?
Yeah, it's a more Gmail focused. Their Gmail API is just supposed to be a more Gmail centric because you know IMAP's not really for Gmail specifically. Like anybody,
mm-hmm. Yeah, can use it works within an email,
right? But Gmail, their Gmail API is supposed to be for all of their smart filters, and I think they're going to start doing what Mailbox is doing with delaying messages for later and stuff like that. But yeah, that's my pick.
You mean SendLater is doing?
No, like
snoozing. You mean like when you one comes in, you can swipe to like delay it and read it later. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's even support for the lists in the Mac app, so you can save emails in like a list system of like, which works well for me for work because I have a lot of like getting this post done, but it's got an email tied to it, so I save it to a list. So yeah, sign up for the Mailbox Mac beta on their website if you haven't already, and then try the iOS app. It's free and works really well. Syncs great.
Buster, I'm kind of torn here because actually I want to vote for Alex's, but I kind of feel like he should be disqualified.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Every time Alex.
Because he's pitching a product that you can't even get.
Exactly. Get Mailbox. I feel like that's not allowed.
You can't get it for Mac.
Well, I'm saying get the iOS app. That's my pick too.
Oh, your iOS. Okay, you can pick the iOS one.
Yeah.
iOS one's been out forever.
Yeah, now. It's been out for a long time, man. It's pretty crusty.
I'm saying get it with the knowledge that the Mac app is shipping soon.
Oh, God. My vote is the PS5, the PlayStation 5.
You can get, if you get a 4, you'll get the 5 soon too, right?
Just get the 4 for now. I'll just toss that in there. But in 8 years' time when the PS5 comes out, you guys should totally get that one.
I mean, you can get access to the beta. They're rolling it out right now, like other
okay.
people.
Okay, fair enough. So it wasn't just they just gave it to you because no. you were writing about it.
No.
Alex is not amused.
Don't be butthurt because you don't have the beta.
Guys, man. He wants to win this week, man.
Okay, you've made your case, Alex. You've made your case. You've argued well. You're a formidable foe. I think I'm going to go with yours.
Oh,
because I got to say, even though Alex made a convincing argument, I've been waiting for that app forever. Ever since I started using it on iPhone, I've been waiting for them to release it on Mac. So that's my vote. Who wants to vote next? Alex, who do you choose?
I'm going to choose yours, Irfan, because
yes!
Buster.
Yes! Buster! What are you going to choose, dude? An app you can't even use or something you could install right now?
Oh, dude, I love the idea of send it later, man. So I'm just...
yes! Is it you choosing mine?
What?
Are you choosing mine?
Yeah, yeah, I chose it. Yeah, you won.
Da-na-na! Da-na-na! I'm punching in the air right now. Da-na-na! I have not won Faves and Raves in probably 6 months.
Oh, really?
Buster, you always win. Every single time. And I always think I'm going to win. And this time, I actually... It's so funny. I was thinking about this before we started recording. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to win with this pick. Because you guys aren't going to see any point in actually being able to send emails.
Oh, no, dude. All the time, I'm like, you know, if you're like writing an email at like 1 a.m., sometimes I'm just kind of too embarrassed to send it like right away. I'm like, no, I'm not. You know, I don't want them to know that I'm responding yet. You know,
see, that actually makes me feel cool because then I'm like, wow, look how hard this guy is working. He's sending me an email at 1 a.m. Yeah, it's so great because if your email hits them in the morning or at a specific time, you're much more likely to get a response from them. So, Thanks for the vote. Thanks for your support, gentlemen. Alex, I'm sorry. You did get my vote, though. And that should make you feel good about yourself. Oh, I totally forgot. Before we have the music start playing, this is cool. So you guys know we've been doing CultCast Second Hours, and we try to get guests with big followings on who are doing interesting things to talk about, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing it. So we're having an interview with an author. His name is Blake Harris. Do you guys know who that is?
No.
He wrote a book called Console Wars. It's a really popular book, and it talks about the war between Sega Genesis and Nintendo, and how both these systems were started, how Nintendo was started, how Sega was started, and how they were competing in the late 80s, early 90s for our money. I mean, this is like the story of a generation. If you grew up on Nintendo, if you grew up on Sega, and I know so many of you out there are just like me, these were like your first consoles. Read the book. It's on Amazon. It's a fantastic book. I'm still not totally through with it yet, but it's an absolutely great story. And also, they're making it into a movie. So Seth Rogen and his partner, whose name I can't remember, have acquired the movie rights for this book. So they're going to be churning this into the Console Wars movie. So we're going to have Blake Harris on, and we're going to be talking to him about his book. But I want to put this out there. For anyone who finds this to be interesting, head on over to our Facebook page. And we'll have a post that you can comment on. Let us know if you have any questions for Blake. And when I'm interviewing him, I will be sure to pick out some of the good ones and ask him those questions. This is a really great opportunity, too, because once this movie goes out, I think Blake Harris is going to be hard to talk to. He's probably not going to want to talk to me anymore. So this is our opportunity to get him while he's not rich and famous. Well, maybe not yet. So head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. Let us know what your questions are for Blake. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up. That's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. But we would so enjoy conversing with each and every one of you on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Buster's BST3R. Come say hi. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And I heard there's a certain Mr. C. Walken out there who wanted to give
Oh,
there he is. He's been on the call the whole time listening. Chris, would you send us out?
Until next time.
God, you should have asked him some questions about some of the Apple stories, too.
I know.
That's so rude. Sorry, Chris, to have you on just listening but not actually talking to you.
It's okay. I'll forgive you.
I know what your pick is going to be. It's going to be Overcast, isn't it?
No.
Really? Okay.
Overcast? I don't even know what that is.
You tweeted about it today.
No, I've got a different pick that you guys have probably never heard of and probably won't vote for.
Oh, cool, because I got a pick that's just going to kill you guys.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Shiz.
All right, well.
Ones that even aren't that good win.
That's,
now let me it's tell truly you, hopeless.
I'm trying to bomb this week, but I think it's going to be a success.
Gosh, you're going to make me pull out my big pick then.
Just wait till get my laser. You guys are going to get destroyed.
I'm not going to do it because I'll lose anyway.
Like you're getting a serious laser, huh?
I'm getting a review unit from wickedlasers.com. And they're sending me this 1.4 milliwatt laser. This thing's going to be insane. They told me you could see it from space.
I can't wait. Is it one of those ones where you can put it on balloons and matches and fire and stuff?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's one of the most powerful ones you can legally buy.
Ah,
it's and they have all these cool accessories for this thing too. They have a lightsaber attachment, so you can turn this thing into this lightsaber looking thing. They're not sending me that, but I was like, these guys get it. These guys get it.